It's very easy to do, just cast about, and I'm sure you can pull it off. And on the World Wide Web, meanwhile, glad to be going out to so many people, and in that way to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning. You are listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, your community radio station. It's a minute before 10 o'clock. Coming up in 15 minutes, join us for Flashpoints. Workers protest the hedge fund buyout of American Apparel in Los Angeles. The Flashpoints multi-part series, The Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century, continues. And more on rising opposition to testing in the U.S. public schools. At 11 today on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with Viet Thanh Nguyen about Sympathizer, his spy novel examining the legacy of Vietnam. And later in the hour, we'll hear a little poetry and a look at the new film Jimmy's Hall about political activist Jimmy Gralton, who was deported from Ireland during the country's Red Scare of the 1930s. But first, it is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary coming up next. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, KBOO's Membership Director. I want to thank you for being a member and a listener to KBOO. Also wanted to share this listener's comment on why they support KBOO.
KBOO is part of what makes Portland awesome. Sherry from Portland, Oregon.
We hope that you feel the same. Please support your community and your local radio station by going to kboo.fm/give.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 30th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests, we have Rocky Barker with the Idaho Statesman talking about a forest plan that may be of interest to Oregonians, in that so much of the watershed for this, the entire Columbia River system, is dependent on decisions made by the Forest Service in Idaho. This latest, there's pluses, there's minuses, and Rocky Barker with the Idaho Statesman is joining us later in the show to break that all down for us. We've got to know this stuff. We live downriver, right? And, of course, a dear friend of ours, Brenna Bell with Bark Out, one outstanding and extraordinary forest activist, talking about the jazz timber sale. This is yet another reminder that if you blink, if you turn your back on them for a minute, they got the chainsaws roaring. And, of course, the top story today, in many people's view, is Bernie Sanders' announcement that he is indeed running for president. This is an extraordinary, I don't know what to call it. It's an extraordinary move. A lot of people thought that it was coming. And I'd want to just put a prediction out there. What a terrific running mate Kshama Sawant would be. She always seemed to be more of a national platform person. And she is, of course, the nexus of the debate over raising the minimum wage so that working people actually get paid for the work that they do. And the two of them together would make an extraordinary team. So that said, we now go to Brenna Bell with Barkout to with an update on the jazz timber sale. Thanks so much for joining us today. And I must add it at short notice.
Thanks, Chris.
So the jazz timber sale, many forest activists, environmentalists, and just average people have been concerned about this for quite some time, and there have been some recent developments.
Yeah, the jazz timber sale is a 2,000-acre timber sale in the Kalawash River watershed, kind of on the upper Clackamas River watershed. And the Forest Service has been proposing to log these 2,000 acres, which includes rebuilding 12 miles of road that have already been decommissioned, all in the name of forest health. Because most of the timber sale units are located in areas that are protected as riparian reserves and late successional reserves. So currently, the Forest Service's solution to every restoration problem is logging. They're just wrapping it in better and better rhetoric. So BARC has been fighting the sale for the past 5 years. Thousands of people have been out there. We've scoured every unit of the sale and provided extensive comments to the Forest Service, which they ignored. So we took them to court, and we just got the last ruling in what's been about a year and a half of court battle over the Jazz timber sale, and unfortunately, I have to say that we lost. And it's disappointing but not surprising in a political climate where logging seems to be getting more and more traction as this ecological solution that the Forest Service is going to use to save us from disease and fire.
I don't know about other listeners, but I learned in the fifth grade that forests don't need to be thinned, that certain types of trees, Douglas firs, need to stand clumped together. Some of the ones that don't make it, in the competition for light and resources, of course, fall and provide substrata for more trees, as do the old trees. There's a reason why trees grow thickly together. It's not like, the forest after millions of years has made a mistake and grown too close together. No, there's a reason for everything in the forest. It does not need any human correction to make it healthier in
exactly.
any way, shape, or form. The stay out of the forest would be the way to keep a forest healthy. People need to remind people of that all the time, I think.
Yeah, the Forest Service, of course, has a mandate to log that it gets from both Congress and from the laws. And so being that it's cut most of the old growth that it can, and it's luckily shying away from clear-cutting, though they're threatening that coming back, they feel like they have to log something to justify their existence. And so we're seeing them go into these protected areas and come up with more and more reasons to log trees that would naturally thin themselves, you know, if you just left them alone. And the Forest Service science says that. They agree. It just will take a little longer. So they figure they can speed up the natural process and get a commercial byproduct in at the same time. Unfortunately, they are robbing the forest of all of those trees that would naturally die and fall and create the best habitat and increase biodiversity in these areas that are already, I mean, they're just starting to recover from clear cutting. So this is, you know, pulling a scab off the wound and re-injuring the forest in the name of restoration.
It's
very disappointing.
And of course, the trees now are worth more standing.
Mm-hmm.
The price of lumber that is shipped simply as a natural resource or raw material shipped overseas for finishing is this third world economics writ large. What would you like to leave listeners with? Because, yes, it's disappointing. Where do we go from here, and what do we do to continue the fight to protect?
Well, two things. One, you know, BARC may have lost its appeal to the Ninth Circuit, but we're certainly not done working to protect this forest. We're going to have people out there as much as possible this summer. We're going to be recording what's happening on the ground and using that to demonstrate that logging is not a restorative practice. And people want to get out to the forest with us. We're also turning our sights to the next big project that the Forest Service is planning on the north side of Mount Hood, the Pulali Cooper timber sale, which is probably the worst thing I've seen since the Eagle timber sale in the late 90s, as well as working to protect the Northwest Forest Plan and even improve it, because Mount Hood National Forest and all the forests in the range of the Northern Spotted Owl are undergoing a planning process right now to redo their forest plans. And in the political climate we have, where timber seems to be, you know, raising itself from the dead to assert its rightful place in the Oregon economy, which is now more a ghost of a myth than reality, we really need to organize to protect the forests and not just assume that they are protected, which I think a lot of people have generally believed that the timber wars are over, but they're starting again in earnest, and we will need to organize and get out in the forest.
This is the real forest fire. This is the real forest fire we need to fight.
Yeah,
it's definitely the time. And Mount Hood is definitely the place. Brenna, thank you so much. My guest has been Brenna Bell with Barkout. Have a look at the website. We'll put links to that on the KBOO. .fm/Cascadia zone, and you can have a look at the pictures and see what's at stake. We
thank
now
you, Chris.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciate you joining us today, Brenna. Thanks again. We now are very fortunate to have Rocky Burka with the Idaho Statesman on. He has been speaking with the Forest Service leader. Tom Tidwell, the Forest Service Chief, has a lot to say about the Clearwater Basin Collaborative, the Piatt Forest Coalition, and, of course, the Collaborative Forest Landscape Restoration Program. Rocky, welcome to the KBOO Airways. We're so glad to have you on the show today. First, we're downstream, so this is people in Oregon have got to understand it, that what happens in Idaho doesn't stay in Idaho. It flows down the Columbia River, and we all share a watershed. Perhaps we should call it a watershed. Can you talk a little bit about this plan and how it shapes up?
Sure. You know, the forest wars that your last speakers talked about, I covered those forest wars in the 80s and 90s, both in Oregon and Washington and up here in Idaho. And we were arguing about many of the same arguments back in those days, endangered species, water quality, and things like that. And in Idaho, largely the forest, you know, as to a certain degree it was in Oregon, the timber industry was largely shut off. And the environmental community had won. And the Forest Service I don't know that you would say that they are trying to justify their existence. Today, most of their budget goes to fighting fires. Their existence does not depend on logging. Their existence does not depend on restoration. Unfortunately, it doesn't depend on a whole lot of other things that we all care about. But over the course of the last decade, many of the people who had been fighting, both here in Idaho, but certainly down in Oregon, people in the timber industry and the environmental community were looking for ways to find some common ground and try and do things. And here in Idaho, our rural communities really don't have a lot of choice in a lot of these places. They're off the beaten path. They're not going to become tourism communities. They don't have manufacturing except for the timber industry. So they very much would like to have, you know, many of them dream of going back to when would they cut timber, which is never going to happen, no matter what happens. It just isn't going to happen here. But all that said, there were things like we built thousands of miles of forest roads into these areas, and you do need to restore. You can wait. But you can, but those roads are bringing hunters in who are, shooting endangered species and their and other issues. So environmentalists would like to see those roads cleared. There is an effort we do need to do. Our forest, much like western Oregon, eastern Oregon, are much drier. Fire plays a much larger role than it does historically over on the other side of the hills, the Cascades. And so people do, they do have some common goals to try to restore fire to some of these landscapes. And yes, to do some logging, mostly around communities, but there are some who would like to do some in other places. And so they all sit down and have done this and said, where do we have a common ground? That's the only way that they can get things done, and they've had success. And that success has got the Forest Service saying, we've got to change the way we've done business all these years. We've got to do what people want to do. And if we can get people who to sit down together and tell us what direction to go, we're going to follow.
I have a question. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell, is he a native Idahoan? What background does he have?
Well, that's actually interesting. Yes, Tom went to Capitol High here in Boise, U of I, University of Idaho, you know, and he's been in the Forest Service in many places across the state, so he definitely knows Idaho very well.
My next question for you, though, is Idaho is a very red state. And a lot of people in the environmental community have concerns about balanced viewpoints because the environmentalists have their voice. We have to concede would be considered negligible in many of these negotiations debates, and my question would be. Well, we're out of time, so I guess my question would be, can you come back and talk some more, please? We would love to have you back, because this is very, very important to us. We all do indeed, as you pointed out, share an entire ecozone, and you're familiar, you've covered it for years and know it well. We'd like to have you back. My guest has been, we've had Rocky Barker with the Idaho Statesman on, talking about their forest plan in that state, and we've also had our other guest is Brenna Bell with Bark Out on the Jazz Timber Sale. Thanks so much to both guests. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, April 30th, 2015. Our wonderful engineer today is Rock Bergeron. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Don't forget, support KBOO.
Flashpoints, workers protest the hedge fund buyout of American Apparel in Los Angeles. And our Flashpoint